It's that time of year again when your nice hosts take a few weeks off from new episodes. We'll be back at the beginning of March, but until then, we picked a few of our favorites from the past year to keep you entertained each week while we're on hiatus.
While you wait, you can get these and all our episodes ad-free, plus exclusive bonus audio that's pretty nice too. Patreon.com/nicegamesclub.
This week's Nice Replay is episode 301, Pothole Run, originally published April 21st, 2023. For this Nice Games Jam, we invited back the podcast's very first guests, our pals Beth and Andy Korth. They joined us to design a game about bad streets, marbles, and Play-Doh. Which, and maybe vacuforming? I don't quite remember.
Oh, yeah, I kind of remember that a little bit, maybe.
This was a great one.
Yeah.
To be clear, the prompt did not include, here are some marbles and Play-Doh, and also there's this thing called vacuum forming.
Yeah, no, that was something that we as a creative group brought to the table. I know that Dale, it's all about the prompt with you, as the supplier of prompts.
This one is nice, too, because we invited the Korths on for it's episode 301, right? So, we had to have them back on again.
Right. They were our guests on episode 2.
Yes.
And then, 103 and then 203. We always have them back just after we hit the 100 mark. We talk about this in the episode.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's so nice to keep that tradition alive because every 2 years, we have them on other episodes, too.
Yeah.
But it's just a fun little thing to have a show that has traditions.
Yeah.
Right?
That is cool, right? We've been around long enough to have those. Mm-hmm.
So, what was episode 300?
That was our big GDC episode, which listeners can go back and do, but we're not doing a replay of that one this year. It's a fun one, though.
Where we drove to GDC.
Yeah, now I'll do my own little stealth ad for Patreon because we have lots of fun Patreon content about our GDC trip this year. So I know we're here to talk about Pothole Run, but after you're done listening to that, maybe go sign up on the Patreon at where?
Patreon.com/NiceGamesClub. So if anyone ready, let's start.
You almost got the whole thing in.
It's so long. Welcome, Beth and Andy.
So first things first.
Yes.
It's warm in Minneapolis.
It is. This is rare.
Which is weird.
Well, it's not that rare.
Well, it's going to be freezing again next week.
Yeah,
it's rare
for April, I guess is what I should say.
But it's in the 60s.
Yeah, 60 Fahrenheit. It's almost 70 degrees.
Makes no sense.
I have my fan here.
it's almost 70 degrees and there's still snow on the ground. Mm-hmm. That's how quickly the weather has changed.
Minnesota's wild, y'all.
Very strange, but only in the shade.
Yeah. But it is nice.
I'm back from GDC, listeners will have heard a couple episodes that we recorded before GDC with me on them, calendar math and so forth.
Yes.
Getting back into the swing of things. You and Alan did a pretty good job running keeping the ship afloat.
We did.
While I was gone.
It worked out really nicely, I'd say.
And I edited the Tiny Horrors episode, so it was really fun to edit an episode I wasn't part of.
Yeah.
That's always a treat.
That's cool.
So I got a good listen to that, which was nice. Other news, big, big news, and
yes.
Beth, you actually discovered this for us. Glom, the card game that we made in a Nice Games Jam and then sold to a publisher, is available for pre-order.
Yes.
There are two websites we found that are selling it, and we'll have links for that at nicegames.club/glom.
Yeah,
and all that'll be in the show notes as well. We're very, very excited. It's going to be out this summer, maybe this fall, and we sort of knew that timeline, but we didn't know they put it up for pre-order yet.
Yeah.
So now we can start hyping it.
Sweet.
But yeah, Beth, you were just asking for a copy of the game to demo at Minibar.
Yep.
Which is coming up. And so why did you just Google searched it?
I just Googled it, yeah. I mean, it wasn't the first hit. I'll have to admit that. There was a lot of glooms because if you search for Glom, it thinks you mean gloom because that's a big game, I guess. It was there.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's neat. I wonder if Mark knows that.
I didn't.
And you said, no, what's that?
Okay. So
The
big news of the day. Beth and Andy are back. This is your
fourth
appearance as a team.
Yes.
Beth, you've been on the show one extra time.
You might have been the most frequent guest we've had on the show.
I bet that's true, yeah.
It's possible, yeah.
We'll put those in the show notes so people can get the full Beth and Andy cinematic universe.
Back-to-back viewing.
You were our first interview, episode 2. We talked about Steam Greenlight, which is hilarious.
Rest in peace.
And then we said, hey, let's have them back for episode 102. That's a fun thing. Mm-hmm. So we did that where you talked about Verdant Skies in one of our video episodes. And then we said, okay, let's have him back for episode 202. And we missed that. We had you episode 204.
Yeah, pretty close.
Pretty close. But it became a tradition, even if it wasn't quite on the nose. And in the grand spirit of that tradition, you're back here on episode 301.
Yes.
Perfect. So, just a little early then.
Yeah, yeah. We're still, if you average it all out, we're still off by one.
Yep.
So if we do 401 next time,
we'll be back on
target. All will be right with the world.
Okay. Perfect. All right.
And then we can get back onto the O2s, yes, you know, in 4 years from now.
Wow.
But yeah, and also, Beth, you were on, we interviewed you solo about narrative design in episode 132.
Oh.
Which was like 3 years ago.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I don't remember that, though.
I had to use the website search function to just double check that I caught them all. Because, yeah, now that we're at 300 and past it, I don't remember all the episodes.
There's so many episodes, y'all. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So, yes. We've done Game Gems in the past. Listeners, I assume, are familiar with it. But if you are not, we try to create. I did this in the intro, but it was really fast. So.
Yeah.
We try to make a game within an hour. Mm-hmm. Ellen is in a meeting, but has given us a prompt.
Yes. She and Dale worked on it together.
Yes.
And they're very excited about it.
It's fancy this time. We don't normally have an envelope. It's normally Dale just sends me a DM or something, and I just can't look at it until we actually look at the prompt.
Get that right up to the mic so they can hear you unseal it.
Oh, okay. Let's do this. Taking the tape off. All the paper noises. Okay. Create a game about patching potholes that game would have fun playing. Oh. Gotta make a game
topical
for y'all's son.
Okay.
Oh.
So yeah, a lot of potholes now that the snow is gone.
Yeah.
lots of potholes left in the city. A game that Gabe would like to play. Gabe is your son,
yep,
who has been on the show a couple of times when you were here. He is currently out in the office watching Star Trek.
Yep.
6 years old, so you're targeting a 6 year old.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
He's almost seven.
That's true.
Ooh.
Real close.
Oh, that changes things.
Yeah, yeah. I always think of him as the exact same age as the show, but he's a little older than the show.
Mm-hmm. But very close.
Yeah.
I do track it that way.
I have a very strong memory of that first time and just how much he fell in love with Martha.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, good times. Okay. So how do we start with this? So civil engineering is our game prompt.
Yeah.
But for seven-year-olds.
So there's a couple of questions. I mean, in the history of these, we tend to have like categories. So we either do board games, or we do like game design documents for things that might be video games.
Yeah, sure.
And then the other thing is like, is it going to be competitive or cooperative or I guess single player? Although we haven't done many of those.
Yeah, that's true.
Thoughts?
He's pretty big on video games.
He is okay. Pretty big on video games. They're pretty much always a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I think there's a lot of potential for board game
there options. Is. Yeah.
Okay.
And he's old enough now that he's not going to swallow any of the pieces.
Right.
At least.
That's good to
know.
I mean,
maybe in protest, but.
No, he'd try to make you swallow them.
Oh, that's hilarious.
No, he's a good kid.
Yeah, I know.
Just in case anyone hasn't met him, he's actually a good kid. I can make those jokes because you guys know him.
Yeah. okay, so I'm kind of leaning towards board game because
like, I am too, because I like the idea of there being like a road and then potholes in the road. That lends itself very naturally to a board game.
And this is a road, quote unquote, for Gabe to get into board games.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. True. I mean, as the designers of this game now, you can, you know, we're gonna be giving this to Gabe to play. It's gonna be the we're gonna have to have him judge it.
Oh yeah.
This is also your opportunity to get him interested. In board game or certain types of mechanics.
Sure.
If you have any designs on that. Some parents are, you know, really love like guiding their children's likes and interests. My understanding is it's generally futile.
It is.
It's worth a shot, but yeah.
You can try.
Right.
Can try. So we got our prototyping kit.
Yep.
We got the white box. Lots of pieces, lots of dye, lots of other things.
Mm-hmm.
We got our French deck of cards.
Right.
Which I cannot understand, but Mark is here to translate.
Uh-huh.
That's not helping. Okay, let's think. What we need to fix potholes, right?
Is that the prompt is? It's about patching. Yeah, so fixing potholes.
Yes.
So are we limited to this stuff in here?
No. We can, I mean, certainly if we're interested in prototyping or doing a playtest during the show, it helps just to limit ourselves to what's in the room.
Yes.
But our imaginations can go past that and right. we can just sort of like, you know, work that out.
Because I instantly went to Play-Doh or something for him to actually pound into something.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
That's kind of brilliant.
I love that. Okay.
Because he likes, you know, smashing things. Yeah. And that would be like the tactile things good for
young
kids.
That'd be a safe way of doing it.
And Play-Doh they can play with. Without,
yeah.
I mean, if they eat it, it just tastes gross, right? So.
Yeah.
Okay, that is. Oh, there's a whole category of board game, which is really like play objects, right?
Yeah.
Mousetrap or like or Operation, mm-hmm. Things that are physical.
Yeah, he really likes those board games that have like the little gemstones and stuff. Like he gets into like Don't Break the Ice, mm-hmm. like with because it's got a hammer and
that's
little ice
game.
Cubes and stuff.
Yeah,
that's right. Game. Yeah. So.
Okay.
I definitely think that some items to play with is.
Nice. I really like this. I'm thinking of like. There's like those Vacuform board games, like Escape from Treasure Island or something like that, or Fire Island or Volcano Island or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm.
Where you like roll marbles down a track and it's this like vacuformed
okay.
kind of terrain.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm thinking like
terrain.
Pieces of that like that are potholes that you would literally, you know, patch up.
Mm. Yeah. I do really like the idea of filling or covering holes with game pieces,
yeah.
filling them with the mm-hmm. the Play-Doh, something like that.
That's how I was imagining it too. Yeah. Well, when you brought up that racing thing, I was thinking, like, what if you were like strategic with the potholes you fixed?
Right. Right.
Oh, okay, like it's you're trying to clear a path for someone to get through quickly.
I mean, it could be like a game of, you know, marbles or whatever, where you just roll things down the hill or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, but then they'll get
first.
Caught up in the potholes.
Yes.
Oh, that's
but
really
like
good.
So you could put so you can cover up. You have like three Play-Doh. Whole pothole covers or whatever, and
yeah.
you can put three of them down in any place.
Well, it's just you have a limited amount of Play-Doh.
Yes.
Right? And you need,
sure.
to, you need to use it strategically. You can fill a hole completely or, like, not completely
oh,
to
yeah.
save some for the next one.
That's nice. I like that too.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Okay. So we're not going to be able to prototype the physicality of this, but we can certainly draw it out
yes.
and lay it out, and then just sort of we can leave the QA testing for the if it works properly to, you know, outside the scope of this episode.
Yeah. Do we have marbles?
Well, no, but my point is that we don't.
I know, but I just want to play with marbles now.
Oh, I see. what we actually don't have is like a pad and paper.
Oh, yeah.
Like a pad and pencil. But,
you told me no prep. I came with zero things.
No. This is on us completely.
Yep.
But it might be fun to draw out, terrain, but we can use the pieces we have to do that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Should be all right. That is, I think listeners will recognize that's like a feature of nice, Games Jam is like, we need to also like try to like, make the process as efficient as possible
mm-hmm.
to fit within the episode, which is not normally a game jam concern. You can a lot of times you can just run out to Target to get the stuff you need,
right?
If you're trying to do something like this, but I also want to make sure we're not constraining ourselves with the things we have. Okay, so we have some sort of terrain, I guess a downhill because we're gonna be rolling marbles down it,
mm-hmm.
whether that twists or turns, whatever. It'll have like physical potholes that you'll fill in with Play-Doh. It'll either be like the same each time or it'll be like maybe like little tiles.
Interchangeable sections.
I would like the tiles. Like one of those games where you get like the stack of like tiles and then you like pick 10 and you put them in the board kind of thing.
Yeah, so there's some randomness right. for replayability. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is going to be an expensive board game and I
yeah.
don't care. okay, so... is it sort of co-op? Do we have someone who drops the marbles versus someone who fills the holes? Is it one-on-one or is it a board game four people can play?
You know, I kind of like the co-op aspect, but if it's not co-op, it seems like the mechanic you'd aim towards would be, you know, which player can get their marble the furthest down their track. You're maybe making decisions like, oh, I could fill in this pothole, but it would help my opponent. So instead, I want to fill in this pothole, which will get me further, but not them.
Oh, okay.
So that's an interesting.
Right, because there's two ways to do that. Everyone can have their own track, or they could all be on the same track, but then something influences.
Yeah.
Either they start from a different place or twists
and
turns.
The tracks intersect or something
right,
like that. So,
right,
you know,
right.
like, I've got the red marble, you've got the blue marble. We've got our designated starting points and which of us can get further down the track with our limited amount of pothole filler.
Okay, I like that.
So I like the idea of it being slightly competitive in that Have you seen all of the city postings about the potholes and how the people on the north side are like, why would you patch the potholes on the south side? Ours are so much worse. I want something about like that to be somehow involved in here, like some kind of cards or something municipal. That you can, yeah,
I like the city
that you
setting.
Can get more pothole filler or something.
So each player represents a different neighborhood, mm-hmm. perhaps.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. I think that also that removes the burden a little bit on. So it's not necessarily that it's your marble down a track; it's your section of the of town, and then maybe at the end a bunch of marbles go, and that just represents traffic.
Oh, okay,
or something.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. And you want the most marbles to go down your area or whatever, and maybe that passes through someone else's area. Oh, but it's not as complicated as sort of interweaving, interacting paths, which I think would be something we would probably just trust would work, but not be able to design it. I do like that.
I like the prep stage. You're prepping your path, and then each player goes and they drop, 10 marbles down, and then you say, I got 7 three of them got stuck, but 7 of them made it.
Oh, and you can decide where to drop them. And maybe you drop them in just the best parts of town, but you only get points if it goes through your part of town or something like that.
Well, that's interesting.
So there's some complication to, like, you want to get the most of your traffic through, but also you want the most traffic to go through your area.
That's interesting. Mm.
Maybe that's a little too complicated.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how you would keep track of which marbles went through your neighborhood. Like, if it's...
I was imagining, in this scenario, everyone having their own separate neighborhood track.
Right. So that does,
Non-intersecting.
So if everybody gets their own board.
Yep.
In a way, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
So where's the like competition? Like, I'm thinking like you get one can of Play-Doh, right? And like we parcel it out into like 4 little balls or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
How do we like get more from someone else or something? Like, I'm thinking like those community chess cards and stuff that always like screw you over. Like,
right. Right. Cause I think we're now getting into the point of like, what is actually the moment to play?
Right.
Yeah.
What does a turn look like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, see, then we've got the like, I drew a card and it's like, I'm going to swap one of my tiles with Steven's. So I'll take a tile that I have lots of potholes in and take one of Steven's tiles.
Ooh.
Like that. So that lets us have separate tracks. So
like competitive resource management in a way.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. I think we should nail down what the board is.
Yeah.
Because that'll start to
that'll help.
I was thinking earlier like, we don't have to decide exactly, but now I'm thinking all the other decisions will have to flow from that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it is gonna. Things still gonna have to roll downhill because we're still using marbles, right? Mm-hmm.
Everything rolls downhill, Mark.
So maybe what we have is a frame that has like City Hall in the middle, and it's like a pyramid, so it goes down in all directions, right? And then each quadrant would be a player. Maybe it only needs to be 3, and then those sections would sort of belong to each of the players. And then you fill them in with the various tiles, which that's the resource stars. You collect them in front of you, and then there's like a different mode of the game, or maybe everyone does a turn, then you start building, and then you go back to another mode of the game or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. That sound all right?
I like that, like, build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the end is where you see how well you did.
Yeah.
Like the point collection, right?
I mean, we could, if we choose to, we could have a phase for selecting tiles, placing tiles, then, filling the potholes is a separate phase.
If
there's cards that are played to interact with the other player's constructions or not, like, mm-hmm. those are all options at this point, I think.
Oh, this is really good, too, because then you can have, as you build your thing, you're kind of building the maze.
Yeah.
So you want to, it's like, I need an L-shaped path here. But the only ones available in the pool or ones I can take from other players have a bunch of potholes, which means I need to, in the next round, make sure I fill them. So each stage gives you new constraints that you need to resolve in the stage afterwards.
I like it.
Okay. So we're done then.
All right. Let's pack it up. How many minutes?
No, it does kind of feel very like I can see the whole game. I can't quite express it yet.
Okay, well, explain it to me again because I didn't finish writing down the rules.
Okay. Okay, so there's kind of a a grid of some kind, yeah. With where you can put down parts of terrain, roads, I guess. And it's all, everything starts in the center where there's like a sort of a city hall or government plaza or something. Okay. And at sort of the top of a pyramid, basically. And then each quadrant is a side of the pyramid that you, that each player can fill in with the various pieces. And then those pieces are just, I guess city blocks or there's something that have blocks. Paths on them that the marbles can go down, and they could be interchangeable, so they could go anywhere on the, in there.
Okay.
Some method of tiling. And then some of them will have potholes. Some of them won't. Some of them will have like interesting obstacles. Some of them will be kind of just like narrow streets, or like a Lombard street or something that like, if a marble's going too quick, it'll bounce off it or something. So you want to put that in an area where the marble is slower or things like that, basically.
Yeah.
A bunch of different types of tiles. And then the player also will then be allocated a certain amount of Play-Doh to fill the potholes with. And that either is everyone gets the same at the start of the game, or through some part they build up their cash, perhaps.
Oh, the tiles cost. You have a pool, right? And so each tile... Like, there's a cost on the tiles, right? So, like, the ones that are the one way, like, really, if you go too fast, that's, like, a cheaper one. But then there's, like, the really nice block that's, like, the straight, whatever kind of thing.
Right, it's, like, straight down.
Yeah.
So, it'll get you faster as well. That's the expensive one.
So, and you have to budget knowing you're going to have to patch the potholes. Wow, that's a lot of peas.
And, and then the Play-Doh either also costs or is the currency.
Oh.
Oh.
Is the currency.
Because it's dough, right?
It's dough.
I mean, the only thing about that is that the physicality of actually parceling out that might be, it's a little finicky, so maybe that wouldn't be useful.
Oh, but that could be the twist. You don't know that that's the dough until you get to phase two, right? And so you're like, oh, I have $5 left?
Yeah.
And it's like you get five little balls, and someone's like, I got 15! And they're like super happy.
Right, the game could ship with a little like ice cream scooper kind of thing that would
measuring scoop
would be make it into units, right?
Yep.
So you're just in front of you'd have a bunch of little ones that way it would be easy to parcel out rather than scooping from a big chunk or something. And so everyone starts with the same amount, I guess, and that's just the one currency. It fills potholes, but it also pays for things. Yeah.
Because then you can buy squares from other people, right? You're like, I really like that tile. Can I please have it for two pothole fillers?
Right.
Wheeling and dealing Monopoly style.
Huh? Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty good. All right.
Oh, okay. So if you use the Play-Doh as currency, but you also use it to fill in potholes?
Well, you know, the idea...
And then you can actually break off portions of it, I guess, in that point. Yeah, so
that all makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but...
Well...
The idea of the roadways having like a price on them, to me, that would be like their victory point value. Right?
Yeah.
So you've picked a challenging roadway. It's got more victory points. Whereas you're like, oh, I'm almost out of pothole filler. I'm going to pick the straight road that doesn't have any potholes in it. And it's only worth one victory point.
Oh.
But this curvy pothole.
Oh, okay. Got it.
The victory point, this might be a little hard to keep track of, but I think it might be worth it, which is that when you drop a marble, and a marble passes through it, you get those points.
Sure, sure.
Right? Mm. And so that's just going to have to be like everyone just pay it. You do one at a time.
So if your marble makes it all the way to the end, you just add them all up. And
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, this could also be something where we could have the marbles could be conductive, and we could have two, pogo pins at the beginning and end of each one. And you could actually make this an electronic board game where it would actually close a circuit and tally up your points. So it's doable. You don't have to have kids paying attention.
So the tiles that you purchase with the Play-Doh.
I know, I'm still so lost.
I am. I'm trying to take
notes.
Well,
you know, Steven's trying to take notes. I pity Steven for that because that is hard.
Yeah.
To like pay attention and type.
Normally how these game jams go is I forget to take notes to the last minute and then we figure it all out.
Yeah.
But now I'm trying to do it in the spur of the moment. It's not working. My question is though is how expensive are the difficult tiles versus the non-difficult tiles? Like the easy tiles, are they worth one or are they worth three, I guess? And the difficult tiles, are they worth one or are they worth three?
I'm not thinking about the economy of this at all yet.
Oh, well, heck. You know that's where my
Andy's
mind goes.
Andy's real good at numbers. That.
Yeah. This is for Andy and Steven to work out the spreadsheet together with. Yeah,
I mean, I kind of like the idea of the currency only being as pothole filler. So its only value is pothole filler. I could be talked out of that, probably.
Okay. So you can just get any tiles you want, though?
So I don't know. We could do either the, you know, you're picking the tile that you've got the pool of tiles.
Yes.
You know, I kind of like the draw tile thing, right? So so you've got five tiles in front of you.
Yep.
You pick the one you like, and then it gets replaced from the blindly replaced from the pool.
Oh, okay. Sure. Okay.
So
yeah, that reduces sort of choice paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. You've got a reasonable amount of choices.
Right.
But it's still interesting because you're like, oh, there's not the perfect tile for me. I've got to pick.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, a good tile. What's the best?
And one? Maybe some tiles could be bigger than others, so that like if one tile is like 2 units long. Yeah. It takes up, there's 5 slots, right? And so it would take up 2 of those slots.
Mm.
And when you select that, then you draw the next one. And if it's only 1, then you draw. So there's some sort of like strategicness as to what you pick governs what is available to the next player.
Right.
Okay. I like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, in any drafting system, and you pick a tile, you're denying other people that tile. So,
yeah.
You know, there's always that strategy as well. I imagine there could be a situation where somebody's picked, I don't know. I guess a tile that like connects in a way that makes this path really easy, but you're like, no, I don't want you to have this particular tile that would make this even easier for you. So you take that.
Right. Path. It's not that useful to you, but yeah.
But it would mess them up. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Emergent strategic behaviors that
it's
we don't
hard
have to
for
know
me.
All about yet.
Yeah. But it's hard for me to imagine a situation in which you're picking a tile that specifically prevents somebody else from benefiting dramatically. But I'm having a hard time envisioning it because I'm still trying to take notes.
So. Yeah, I think there's so much about this that like would need to be figured out.
Yes.
That is outside the scope of our design.
Right.
But
absolutely,
I'm just assuming that we'll all get figured, like how these things all fit together. Mm-hmm. You know, on an area which is essentially a triangle.
Yeah.
You know, may not make a lot of sense initially, but we can worry about that another time.
Yeah.
Okay. So currency is you just have the dough to fill the potholes.
Yep.
So we're losing the dough metaphor. Which is a fun joke, but maybe a little bit too much of a stretch. So I'm happy to lose it. Okay.
You guys, we made a game.
Steven, how did Ellen get back in here?
I don't know. She broke in.
How'd your meeting go?
It's a meeting. Business happened. I don't have to do anything. I have no action items from the meeting.
Yeah.
Nice. So that's the best kind.
So what are you doing here then?
I want to talk about Glom.
Glom?
Glom.
Glom. Glom is a game. Glom is a game that we made.
We did.
Do you remember?
I do.
Yeah.
It's and,
good time.
And not only did we make it, but we also worked with Peter to get a publisher to pick it up.
Yes, right.
And that publisher is publishing it. And it's coming out this year.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Not only is it coming out this year, but we just heard that they have like pages up for it and you can pre-order it. What?
Ooh.
I know.
If I were a person who was all excited about all this.
Yeah.
Not saying that I am, but if I was.
Yep. Right.
How would I be able to pre-order this?
Well, you go to nicegames.club/glom.
Yeah?
Yeah. GLOM.
Nice.
That's how you spell glom.
Huh?
That's how you spell glom.
Glom. Great, cut. That's it.
Did that sell it?
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So,
okay, so the scoring system is the tiles all have a certain amount of points on them, or each tile is worth 1 point?
Each tile has victory points that you earn when a marble passes through it.
Right, but... Say one, two, or three. Okay.
Right, and that could either be because it's really challenging because it's likely that a marble will roll off of it, or it's really challenging because it's likely that a marble gets stuck, or it's really challenging because it has a ton of potholes and therefore you need to use a lot of your pothole filler to make it, you know, usable. But yeah. In which case it's then now easy to get through, you know, stuff like that.
I mean, yeah, the amount of potholes that a tile has, yeah. Things like that, yeah, like you're saying.
One, two, or three feels pretty good. Mm-hmm. Then it's not so, you know, sure. It's not this enormous, wildly swinging economy of like 1 to 10 or
250.
Like that.
Especially if you want a 7-year-old to count their score.
Right. Well, yeah. I think I want to make this electronic board game. As long as our budget is unlimited, I think that would be really fun to have it automatically track as it goes down.
You know, you're on your way to another published game because these kind of games, have you been to the store recently and seen what's on those shelves?
No, I'm not.
This could go.
If you sell it as an educational game, there's no limit to the price parents will pay.
Okay, that's our next.
Yep, yep.
Next game. Yeah.
Just call it Civil Engineering 101 or something. Yep. And
yeah, I think I mean, my aim for a lot of these things is always to have some sort of like some applicable either moral or teaching. It could be slight. That might be a tall order for this, but if nothing else, to teach about like budgeting and just the thematic element of like. You know, cities need, civic engagement and budgeting.
Yeah.
Like, that's enough, I guess.
There's always more potholes than you have filler for.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that can be something we make sure is, we can, you know, tweak the engineering of it so it's always that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So each person gets the same amount of Play-Doh?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And each person is only allowed to use Play-Doh on their quadrant?
Oh, there could be some sabotage is what you're saying.
That was not what I was implying, but that's
what Stephen was saying for sure.
Sure.
I just imagine this now being a square, right? Like four sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the thing on top and on a spinner thing. So yes, you could be like, yes. Nope, turn one time to the right or whatever. And then I inherit Stephen's board.
Oh, I was thinking just to get like spin it around so you can kind of see what's going on. But I like that like the spinning is a move you make.
Kind of like the Uno Reverso kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Reverse card. And, you know, as long as we're tracking each of these tiles, you know, electronically, you know, you could also, have a way to govern who controls each part, each stretch of road or whatever. Or it could be that the marble, once it gets to the bottom, it's like Plinko. It gets into your bin at the bottom. And so it doesn't matter how it gets there.
Oh, sure.
Right? But the points it collects along the way, you get.
Oh.
If it lands in your spot. So, like, there could be a fork in the road. Could be a plate, but then now you're 50-50. It could go one way or the other.
Yeah.
And wherever it lands gets the points of that and all the preceding and following. And then that also makes the rotating make a lot of sense because you can rotate on your turn and you're only allowed to place things in the area in front of you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Sure.
And a move could be also swapping or moving or reconfiguring.
Okay. So you could like save your Play-Doh for a situation in which you get the quadrants you want, I guess, instead of like patching up a thing and then somebody taking up all of that you patched up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But also if you can remove tiles off the board, then anyone who puts Play-Doh in the, in those, it's now wasted.
Oh,
right. Yeah. So there's some strategic elements to that as well.
Yeah. Boy, if only city building was this simple. interesting. Okay.
Okay. So did everyone like that idea of like where the ball ends determines who gets those points?
It makes it more random.
Andy doesn't like random.
Yeah. Well,
I'm getting a little bit of a munchkin feel out of it, you know?
Well, but the thing is it's only random insofar that like you still have control over what the paths are.
Sure.
Right. So you want to, but everybody else could. Yeah, it's a little bit. I see what you're saying. But that's the interaction between players, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of it boils down to like, you know, what is the mechanic for rotating the board and doing like a total district swapper.
Yeah, I guess my conception, if this is the way we go, is that you can rotate it, but that you're only allowed to interact with the things in front of you. But on the bottom, all around the bottom, it just alternates colors between the four players, all the sort of ending spots.
Okay.
So you're always able to impact a couple of your ending spots, and also some of other people's as well.
Does that make it so that sometimes like paths that you created, just there are no marbles will go through? Because I think part of the fun of this might be like, you know, making a path. You know, patching up some of the holes and hoping that your marble goes through and seeing that happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The marble randomly going to a different path and you not being able to see your a marble go through it to see like what you did, if what you did worked, is going to be disappointing, I think. Does that make sense?
When is that ever going to happen?
Because marbles will go down one or two paths, right? What if they just always go down two and they never go down one?
Well, then you on your turn, you would change a piece.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Oh, I see. Oh, so you're not establishing a path. The paths are just changing over time.
You establish, but then you can start. You can either, let's say it, if you have, I don't want to do an action points economy or anything like that, but let's say it's more costly in some manner. Mm. Maybe you have to skip a turn or something, but like you can place a tile in your, you know, in your inventory, or you can swap. You could do one or the other.
Okay.
Or you could remove or, you know.
Yeah.
Those would be different actions that would either be.
I kind of like the action economy, though. Yeah? You can spin it. You can replace the tile. Yeah, right. You can drop a marble.
Oh, I love that.
Oh.
You can fill a pothole. So, all right. So everyone has like three action points.
Okay.
And all the things you can do cost a certain number of action points.
Wait. Yep.
That way there's not like phases. There's just everyone gets a turn.
Oh, I like the idea of it just being you pick one thing to do. But I guess each thing would have a certain amount of
time. Yeah. It makes the action economy okay if there's not a bunch of different phases. If it's just like...
No, I agree with that. Yeah. What I'm saying is that like if you just pick one thing, then you don't have to think about, I have 3 points and spinning the thing costs 3 points versus putting a new tile costs 2 points. You know,
I would just have them each be an action.
Right.
Okay.
Like you get 3 actions, they're all 1 point.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. 3 actions.
And then you might like, oh, this is perfect. I'm just going to drop 3 marbles and collect my cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or you might say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do like these 2 moves and now I'm happy with the board and I'll drop a marble.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
I like that. Then it doesn't necessarily have to, we don't even have to keep track of like where the thing ends up necessarily. It can just be, when dropping a marble, you just collect points.
Yeah.
Wherever it goes. Okay. I like that.
Right. And I think that jives pretty well with like, you know, a game like Dominion, mm-hmm. right? Where at the beginning of the game, you're focusing on building up your deck. You're contributing to your future economy. And then at the end of the game, you're like, I don't care what's in my deck. All I'm trying to do is score victory points.
Right.
So that's analogous here because all you're doing at the end, okay, like, this is endgame now. I'm going to be dropping as many marbles as I can to try to get the points I want.
Out That's of
the
fun. Of it.
Okay. Yeah.
What were the actions? Rotate board, drop marble, place.
Place tile. Or swap a tile.
Okay. Place or swap a tile and then
fill a pothole.
Fill a pothole.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Might be fun.
And I think the one restriction is that you can only do the things that are in front of you. And that's why you would want to rotate.
Okay. Yeah.
And you rotate it like a full 90 degrees or something.
Right. And so the points you get are not based off of what marbles go through your track. It's where they end up.
Right. There is no your track anymore. Yes. There's just how. So when you drop a marble, you want it to basically go through as many tiles as possible and make it to the end, right? If it falls off or something, then you get no points.
Right. That's a crash.
Right.
So if Steven makes a really kick butt track, I'm going to spin it and drop two marbles. Right.
Sure,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, actually, what's kind of fun about that is it becomes a very high scoring game, which is just enjoyable. It could also mean that, like, for kids, if you're not doing that well, your strategic element could just be
always spin, take the other person's board and then play off that.
Right. So there needs to be some balance to make sure that's not there's no leeching a play style. But that's okay. We can figure that out. I think it's.
You can only spin once, or you can only drop. Yeah.
Right. Like, or maybe when you drop a marble, it ends your turn. So you can only ever drop at most one.
Okay.
That's not too complicated.
Yeah, but I did like the idea that Andy was proposing, where, like, you know, if you're at end game, you put a bunch of marbles down because you're like, I'm getting to the point where it's like it's high scoring now.
Yeah.
I think that is satisfying.
That does seem fun.
Yeah.
Some of that might be like, you can only rotate it in one direction. You can only rotate to the left when you choose.
Oh, okay.
Left.
Yeah.
That kind of mitigates.
You're not having a much fighting back and forth between two players.
Right.
Yeah.
What you don't want to create is like, okay, we're only working on one of the four tracks and everybody's first thing is to rotate it one to the left so they can work on the good track and then the other three tracks languish.
Yeah. Well, then there's... If that does start happening, a player, I mean, it could just happen, but then a player could try to, for their own benefit, rotate it once more to throw everybody off the rhythm, you know?
Sure.
I'm going to rotate twice.
I guess maybe the answer is play proceeds to the left, but the board only rotates in the opposite direction.
Ooh, yeah, that's great. Yeah. I like that a lot. Yep.
I like that.
Yeah, because it does prevent that.
At least with three or four players, it prevents it. With two players, it's unpreventable.
Yeah.
Well, with two players, you're going to have two blank sides.
Well,
or one blank side.
I guess I assumed you would go past the blank sides.
No. There wouldn't be blank sides. You just rotate it once, and now it's a side you can use.
It's a new side. Okay. It would just be a longer game.
Right. It would. Right. Yeah. That I think that's self-balancing. Even with three players, there's just one gap, but that gap is always going to be in front of people.
Just going to be somebody
eventually. Yeah. Because there's no one owns any of the sides. Mm-hmm. So. I think that's a really good rule, is that whichever way play proceeds, the board only goes the other way. Because then you can use, if you only have three actions, you could rotate it three times, but then nothing else. So it's not that useful, to get to the side you want. But you can rotate it twice, if you really want the one that's two away, and then just roll one marble, or you could rotate it once and do two marbles, even though it's kind of a crappier route. So there's lots of choices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very cool.
How does the game end?
It never does.
You're here for it.
I think it's one of those
gets
things
upset
where...
and flips the table.
When the kid starts eating the Play-Doh. isn't there like a... It's like after 10 rounds kinds of rules?
Probably a round tracker.
You know what? Yeah, round tracker's good. I think thematically it should be related to like pothole season.
Yeah.
So like when winter starts, that's when the game ends, right?
So you have a little track where you're like, this is January, this is February.
and that's just what each turn represents, a month or something, just thematically.
Sure,
That's fun.
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I like it. Then, like, thematically, it's four different neighborhoods. Nobody owns the neighborhood. And
they're,
like, four different construction companies or something
like
that.
Yeah.
And you're getting your credit for each car, that each marble that you roll down represents well upon your company.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a disconnect between, like, the traffic and then the person who builds, because you may be sending some traffic through someone else's, but it's your turn, so you get the points.
Right.
But I'm totally comfortable with that.
It's like, kind of
I don't
like
mind
when those
that
trucks
being kind
come
of broken
through the neighborhood after the storm.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's six of the Evergreen Company picking up trees, and there's two of the... It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. I like it. All right, here's my big question for everyone. Once you've played the game and you've filled all the potholes with Play-Doh, how do you get the Play-Doh out of the potholes?
Well, very good question. So, have you ever played with the little extruder Play-Doh thing that
kids
got?
You just push it through a plate and all of it,
yep.
it pops
you just,
right out.
You just slide something down and it just pushes it all out.
I think that's what you got to do. You got to have like a little extruder.
I like it. Yeah, the physical constraints of this, I think, are numerous. but that's problem for product designers to solve. That can be us later or never.
I mean the lame solution is you put a cube in the cube shaped pothole.
And that is a way you could do it, but I don't want to give up on the fun.
Right. Yeah. That's the giving up on the fun for the practical.
Right. Plus there's I think the thing that excited me most, Beth, when you proposed it is like you could almost fill the pothole and save some of your Play-Doh.
Yeah.
And that feels very municipal budgeting.
Right? Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of holes there. We're just going to have.
Yeah. Or you know what?
It'll roll over.
Because of the way the track is, I know the marble's going to be leaning up against the outer rim of this one. I'm only going to fill this half of the pothole.
We don't really need this pothole filled.
I mean, I think the other concern is like marbles down a track, like those potholes, are they really going to stop the marbles? But we'll just assume they do. And it'll be designed in a way that they would. They could be enormous bottles, right? They could be the way it could be just like really breaking up big chunks of the road. It could be exaggerated in terms of the scale of it. As long as it would actually send the marbles.
Well, I saw a picture of a bus in Minneapolis where the bus basically fell in the pothole and it was like up to the axle.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yikes. I just saw today in South Minneapolis, there's a big sinkhole. Yeah. Opened up.
Oh my goodness.
And it just incredible.
Like 8 foot deep, they said.
Yeah, you can see it's right near a manhole cover, so you can see the tube down to the sewer. Like it's just this big cavity all around it. It's incredible. Whoa. Yeah, we'll put the picture of that in the show notes because, oh boy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing you see someone, you're like, I hope, it's not like, oh, I hope no one fell. It's, I hope no one got lost down there.
Right.
<That's> how, yeah. Any outstanding concerns or issues?
Let me read out the rules that I've typed up because I'm sure I've missed half of them.
Yeah, just because like we're at 40 minutes, which is like we've really gone through this quick.
Yeah, what the heck? Yeah. This is rare.
Professional game designers.
We're usually struggling. I think part of this is because we don't have the capacity to playtest this. Mm. So that usually a lot of times takes up the back half of the episode.
Right, but also, like as Beth was saying, the courts are professionals.
That's true.
Okay, grid where you put down terrain, everything starts in the center, city hall, it's a hill. What is that note? That was my first note.
It is, I think, what I said. So
almost verbatim, Mark.
Yeah, that's where you
kind of on
put
me.
The marbles.
Mm-hmm.
They roll down the hill. Okay, each quadrant is a side of the pyramid. There is some method of tiling for the players to put pieces down to determine how the marbles will travel in that area. Players also get a bit of Play-Doh to fill up potholes. When a marble passes through a tile, you get its points. No, it's not accurate. When a marble passes through a tile, the player where that marble ends up gets those
points. No.
Nope.
No?
No, that was my
that
idea
was
that we're not doing.
Okay, so what is the rule then?
When you drop a marble, yes. You get all the points that marble
collects. Oh, when you drop the marble, you get the points. Okay,
yep.
Got it.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
So if it gets halfway down the track, what you'll be doing is just adding up the point values of the tracks until it stopped.
I think Mark said you get no points.
Well, yeah, I think
no
it's got to get all the way through the city.
Interesting.
Right? Electronic.
Well, okay,
that.
So here's a question. When you're you know, partway through the game and you've only got half of the tiles filled,
yeah,
is it still an option to drop a marble?
I think so, yes, because you might want to do like a beeline for the bottom.
Sure.
But then that's not going to get a lot of points. The really high scoring ones are the slow, windy paths, which takes longer to build.
Yeah. Okay.
So you could, as a player, you could start going, I'm going to get points early. I'm going to build something quick and try to get it going. But everyone else has the option to use that too if they can move that in front of them. Or you could be methodical and I'm going to build this slowly and then I, you know, delayed gratification, I'll get a ton of points.
Sure. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool. Five tiles to draft from, pick the best one, a new one replaces it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Each tile is worth 1, 2, or 3 points when a marble passes through. Each player does 3 actions each turn from this list. Rotate board in one direction opposite of the turn order. Drop marble, place/swap a tile, or fill a pothole.
Yeah.
Right.
You can do the same action more than once. Rotating the board happens towards the left. Play order goes towards the right. There is a turn order. Play ends when the turn count ends. Starts during a season, ends during another season. Each turn is a month. And we can create an extractor to get the Play-Doh out.
So now, is this complicated enough, or do we want to add another layer?
What do you have in mind?
Well, so I'm thinking like the, what is it, Forbidden Desert, where you have different roles. So like maybe players have specially good skills. Maybe I'm a really good pothole filler.
Yeah.
But Andy gets to pick two tiles.
Okay.
Or sure.
Steven gets to place two tiles.
Or maybe
for every tile.
The traffic director gets to drop two marbles each time they drop a marble.
Yeah.
Or maybe maybe only one player has the ability to remove tiles.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
So there has to be some maybe even alliance forming because you want to make the swap, but you can only do half the job. I don't know.
You know, that does open doors for cooperative play, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you've got your different roles.
You know what? I think this would be a great game, two teams of two players.
Mm.
And there's one person is has one skill and another person has another skill. Then there's some things both players can do. But that way, there's still a it's not quite, it's not asymmetrical exactly, but it still is varied. But then you need four players, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, we were saying that two players seems boring. Three players, I mean, yeah, it just being four players, I think makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it could also
be
a variant.
Teams of two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or teams,
yeah,
two teams is what I mean.
Right. But I like the idea of different abilities, variants. But I don't know about like fully asymmetrical because I think it'd be so hard to balance for a game like this. I know, Beth, it was your idea if you want to.
This is a game jam, and we don't have to make this game, so we can put whatever we want on there.
That's why I was like, an extra layer.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, everything is in chrome, and flames on
yep.
the...
That's
on
just
the...
for if we get the the stretch goal.
Right.
Oh, no, the stretch goal is maybe... It's all carved out of wood.
Yeah.
Every one
yeah.
of the tiles is like... A meticulously carved wooden
tile. Perfect.
Melissa and Doug endorsement.
Yeah. And of course, the final stretch goal is that all the tiles are made such that as you use them, they develop new potholes.
Oh, that's good. That's what. No,
I mean, if you could mechanize that would
no,
be great.
It would be kind of interesting if you could just like make your own tile somehow.
It'd be like a legacy.
It's
game.
A legacy game.
Eventually, you'd run out of material.
It comes
to buy
with
a new
drill
one.
Bits, so you can drill a pothole at the end of each game in a tile.
I mean, there is something about one of your actions being like construction and that causes
this is
or,
for 7 year
or heavy traffic. Yeah. It's that, yeah, that's real.
So we make it out of cardboard instead, and you can punch out the pothole.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, though.
And then you don't need to extract Play-Doh; you just throw it away.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
And then you sell refill packs.
I mean, that's a market. I love it.
Perfect.
I mean, let's stick with what we got. But that's I love the ambition.
Expansion pack. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's our show. We post show notes and such on our website, nicegames.club. Go there to find the rules of the game we made today. Visit us on Twitter and Mastodon at Nice Games Club, where Dale tweets and toots about game dev resources and everything you need to know about First Contact Day. I didn't put this in here, Mark did. But I guess you can
it's an important holiday.
Sure. We like hearing from you, so tweet and toot back. Or email us, contact@nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. If you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello.
So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice. Oh, I am.
We decided.
Oh, okay. So I need to go back to the other
just because you're not in the episode and it'd be kind of weird for you
right.
to talk randomly.
Right, it's going
to
be amazing.
Yeah.
I started recording, so.
Oh, aha! Great. This is all stuff you can use for fun.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.